just powered down a turkey burger there during lunch.
Yeah, how'd that go?
The turkey burger was fine. It is the Carolina mustard barbecue sauce that takes it next level.
There you go.
Big fan of the Carolina mustard barbecue sauce. Exceptionally good. Speaking of food, you told a story last week of how your mom kind of has a history of substituting ingredients when making recipes.
That's right.
And she had a big dub.
Big
huge
dub.
Win.
Yeah, it took, instead of using plain old water in a brownie recipe, she substituted the water with mango juice. And it made the brownies more moist. And I couldn't taste any difference other than the mouthfeel of the moistness of the brownie. It was delicious.
You loved it.
It was great.
Yeah. But they're not all winners. And in fact, you're not the only one who does this. Or your mom isn't the only one who does this. When we first started talking about this, correct me if I'm wrong, Kang, was it your wife's aunt?
Yeah, it's my wife's aunt. She watches the kids for us. And so she comes over and babysits a lot. And then she always brings food. So when she brings food, it's an adventure to say the least. I've told Gator about this many times off the air because it's just hilarious to me and Gator.
It's amazing.
The concoctions she puts together, but yeah.
Now, was last night an all-timer?
Last night was an all-timer. And that's saying a lot, all right?
Well, give us an example. What was probably the all-timer before last night?
I don't know. I think hot dogs and coleslaw or something. I don't know. Like, I think she put eggs in like some kind of weird salad.
Okay.
Like scrambled eggs. I don't know. But
this
one might have topped it, though. So yesterday she was babysitting, and as always, she brings over a bunch of different kind of foods. There's no rhyme or reason to what she brings over, guys, so don't ask me, but she likes to make a lot of dishes.
Okay.
Even though I have a 6 and a 4-year-old that cannot eat more than any other 6 or 4-year-old would be able to eat, right?
Yeah.
So yesterday, my wife is working from home. She's like, oh, hi, Auntie. You know, oh, you brought some food. I'm like, great, great. What'd you bring? She's like, oh, you know me. She always says that.
Oh, we do.
Yeah, we do. She brought over some stir-fried noodles.
Nice.
Okay. She brought over some fried fish and brown rice.
Okay.
She brought over some weird smoothie pudding thing that she made, and then she decided to throw Superman ice cream in it. Don't ask. That's just, okay. You know me.
Yep.
I'm not mad at you.
Then she also brought over a seafood boil, like in a bag. Gator, you're very familiar with this. Doug,
yeah.
You know, right?
It's, yes.
It's just like... garlic, Old Bay, lemon juice, salt, pepper,
shrimp.
Yeah, shrimp mussels. There's shrimp and mussels in there.
Sausage, maybe.
Yep, maybe some crab legs.
That's a lot of food.
Yeah.
It is a lot of food.
Yep. Oh, yeah. It's always a lot of food, guys. And then she told my wife, I also brought over ribs. She's like, ribs? I didn't see any ribs. She goes, oh, it's in the seafood boil. She goes, what? She made ribs, like, you know, a spare ribs, okay? And she decided to deep fry the spare ribs.
Oh.
And put them in the seafood boil.
There you go.
Next to the shrimp, mussels, and potatoes or whatnot.
Did not see that coming.
No one saw it coming.
Because I came home
and I didn't talk to my wife about this. She's like, oh, did you eat anything? I go, yeah, I had some of that seafood boil. And she goes, did you eat any ribs? I go, I didn't see any ribs. She goes, it's in the seafood boil. I go, oh my God. I saw a big rectangular thing in there, did not know what it was, moved it to the side, and it's a rib.
It was a rib.
It's a deep fried rib.
A deep fried rib. So it can stand up to the boil.
Dude, what?
It's quite a combination.
I couldn't believe it. When you said that last night, I just burst out laughing. Because, of course.
I mean,
God bless her.
Right?
So next time you have that summer gathering, Gator, with your friends, you guys have the
boil. Yeah, we do a boil, yeah.
Bring deep-fried ribs.
Deep-fried ribs. Hey, guys, I appreciate you sending out the ingredients that everybody's responsible for bringing, but I didn't notice deep-fried ribs.
Yeah,
Do you want me to pick those up?
Susan, you get the shrimp, and John, you get the mussels.
Yeah.
And, you know, Garrett, you get the potatoes and corn. Gator, you bring the deep fried ribs.
I'll bring the deep fried ribs.
Well, I know that you are grateful that she brings food, but also curious as to where her ideas come from. And is there ever a lot of questions, or do you guys just accept it at this point that there might be deep fried ribs in a seafood boil?
whenever we ask Doug, because we're very polite, I don't want to be rude. I'm very thankful. We're lucky. The answer is always, well, you know me.
Yeah.
You know me.
That we do.
Yes, we do, Auntie.
Yep. Well, how would you rate it, by the way? Are you going to eat that?
Dude, I did not want to eat it, but then my wife's like, just try it. And I'm like, all right, fine. Not good.
No.
Well, eventually the fried part gets soggy, as you would imagine, because it's in a seafood boil.
Sure.
And then the ribs become overcooked. It's just not a good combination. I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't. I would eat the ribs on its own on the side, not put them in the seafood boil.
It's probably wise.
Right.
With the all the, you know, garlic and Old Bay. And
Old Bay ribs, huh? Old Bay and the rib.
I've heard of boiling ribs before.
I've heard of boiling ribs before. Just to start to get them
tender.
Start the cooking process, and then
you can throw them on the grill after.
Finish on the grill.
Yeah. Well, that is perhaps the all-timer.
Happy lunch, everybody.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so there's a weird story in sports going on right now that started to percolate yesterday, and now it's getting some mainstream attention. We have come to learn that we do not believe anything we see on the internet, but it has progressed to the point where now an investigation has been launched. And this might have an impact on the coming Michigan season as they are playing week two at Oklahoma. Oklahoma quarterback John Mateer, after screenshots of pass, this is from an ESPN story, after screenshots of past references to, quote, sports gambling on his Venmo account surfaced online Monday, Mateer has denied to school officials ever being involved with gambling. The screenshots are Venmo payments that literally say sports gambling. One says sports gambling. The other says sports gambling, USC, UCLA.
Oh, boy.
There's another one that says sports gambling, World Cup. I think it says ultra sports gambling, World Cup. Now, other things have surfaced. Now, this was when he was a freshman at Washington State. The dates on them go back to 2022 when he was a freshman at Washington State. An investigation is being launched. He says he's never gambled on sports. There are other posts and screenshots that, again, if they are real, and I don't know that they are, this guy screws around a lot on Venmo. Like in payments. Let me ask you a question, because I used to do this with like friends.
Mm-hmm.
Back when you'd write checks.
Sure. In the memo and
write column. Write a check to our buddy Keith. But I think, and I'd write, you know, in the memo, for a night I'll never forget. Like something like that, just messing around.
Or boob job.
Yeah, in the memo. And I'm not sure that Mateer wasn't doing some of that. If you look at other screenshots that have surfaced, where those also probably could get him in trouble. But there is an investigation. Now, look, when it comes to gambling and college sports, the most vulnerable are the college athletes. Now, they're becoming less vulnerable in that they do get paid. Many of them are getting paid, and many of them are getting paid a significant amount of money, but many aren't. But because the highest paid people have more to lose. So professional athletes seem like less likely, but not impossible to get to them. And we've seen recent examples of professional athletes that either A, are gambling. We had two here in Detroit, one that, you know, was doing it not on his sport, but doing it on company property, which got him suspended. And another one that now is currently under investigation. But I feel like the young people, young adults that aren't making as much money are far more vulnerable to this. And I hope it's not true. I hope he was just screwing around. I mean, it would be incredibly poor judgment. But at the end of the day, I'm sure this isn't the last of these stories we're going to see.
Probably not. And, you know, it could be a life lesson that, okay, we know you're a jokester or a prankster and like to have fun. Some things you can't joke or prank about.
Or really shouldn't.
Yeah, because you get yourself in trouble if you do. So maybe sometimes you just got to use a filter.
Yeah. But now with that said, I really super hope this is not true. I hate to see, you know, we've talked about this when it happens with like Michigan athletes or Michigan State athletes, or they make any bad decisions. It's just, you hate to see them do anything that might ruin their lives, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. They've got great opportunities. And, you know, I've become far more forgiving and tolerant of these things, because every once in a while, something will come out of one of my kids' mouths that doesn't have to be offensive, but it'd be like, oh my God, this is the prism with which they see the world through. Like, I can't believe that you actually believe what you just said, but the kids will say stuff.
Yeah.
And again, it's not like offensive or stuff, but I just, it'll blow my mind and I'll go, okay, I think we're doing a decent job as parents, but it's amazing. And it might not be them. It might be their friends. It might be something that they've seen on Instagram or whatever.
There are influences everywhere.
Yep. And so I've gone to the point where, God, I hope if my kid says something like this publicly, that people will understand they're just a young dopey kid. And so when I see, I mean, if this is true, back to his freshman year, he's probably 18, 19 years old, doing things that he might never do when he's 22, 23, whether it be joking or otherwise. I guess I have a lot of tolerance and patience for young kids making bad mistakes.
Oh, because they make mistakes.
Yep.
That's why they're young.
Yep.
Inexperienced. It happens.
248-539-9797. All right, let's get to some Lions stuff. We'll do that next. Dan Campbell with his thoughts on what he hopes to get out of these joint practices with the Dolphins, and he evaluates each of the backup quarterbacks. That is straight ahead here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Well, we are right in the middle of summer right now. It is hot. It is humid. It is difficult, and nobody likes to be overheated. Make sure that your air conditioning is working. And if it isn't working right now, if it is stalled a little bit, or if it's just not kicking out the cool air like you want it to, call the great folks over at Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling today. Now, they've been keeping homes in Southeast Michigan cool and comfortable for over 20 years. So whether you need a quick repair or a seasonal tune-up or maybe a brand new system, their expert team is fast, friendly, and local. Do not wait for a meltdown. Call Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling today or visit BirminghamPlumbingCO.com. That's BirminghamPlumbingCO.com. Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, your Metro Detroit boiler experts.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Hope you're doing great on a Tuesday. We'll be back out at Lions practice over the next few days, watching them in the joint practices with the Miami Dolphins. I hope we can escape and see some of it, because it's awfully difficult when we're kind of doing the show to also kind of digest what's going on. But we'll get one of the reporter dudes on. Maybe we'll grab Birchie Kid or something, get over and have eyeballs on it the whole time. And what stands out tomorrow as the Lions get ready for their next preseason game. Is this one Friday night or Saturday night? Do you remember?
The preseason game?
Yeah, the next one is.
Is
16th. That's 4 days. That's Saturday, right? Saturday's the 16th?
Saturday's the 16th.
All right, good. Anyway, Dan Campbell spoke to the media yesterday, and we were on the air from out there getting set up. Actually, I think it was right before practice started. So practice started at 10:30. Yeah, we were on the air, so didn't get to check it out. And here's some of the best of what he had to say, starting with somebody asked him is there growing concern about the backup quarterback spot. And here's what Dan Campbell said. So this has gotten a ton of discussion, the backup quarterback situation in Detroit, and that was clearly a step in the right direction for Kyle Allen. You didn't have to be Vince Lombardi to figure that one out. And there were some deep shots, some deeper shots down the field. Hendon Hooker had some completed shorter passes. There wasn't a whole lot of down the field shots. And we haven't seen a lot of that from him. I don't know what the story is here, whether or not he is just never going to develop or coming along slowly. That's up to the Lions to figure out, because they'll have a best. They'll be able to figure out whether or not he's never going to develop or coming along slowly better than any of the rest of us. But as far as Kyle Allen's concerned, that was encouraging. Does it solidify anything? No. But does it at least give us a little bit of hope for the backup quarterback spot? Yes.
Yeah, I mean it was a nice recovery because the first week was bad. Second week was really good for Kyle Allen, and for Hendon Hooker, you know, coughing the ball up twice is not good. But he's thrown, 16 passes in the two games? I think it was 3 for 6 in the first one and, 7 of 10 in the second game? Mm-hmm. Not a ton of yardage there, but two passes he had dropped were downfield.
Yep.
One was ripped out of the hands of the receiver, ended up being an interception in the first game. And the other was
Lovett.
Yeah, and the other one was the throw down the sideline to
Jackson Meeks?
I think it was running back on the wheel route. Reynolds. And he ended up Reynolds got lit up.
Oh, he got lit up, yeah. That might have been a bit of a hospital pass. Was it me? I think Meeks dropped one of his passes as well early in the game and then came back and played better after that.
So, again, was definitely outplayed by Kyle Allen. Yeah. But were there steps forward for Hendon Hooker? Not enough to overtake Kyle Allen at this point.
What's interesting is
what happens this week.
In that game, one of the early storylines of the preseason is guys who could be playing themselves into jobs elsewhere. And so having good enough preseason, but they don't have a spot on the team they're with.
Right.
You know who I saw listed? Easton Stick, the quarterback at Atlanta.
He played really well.
So, and the reason that is relevant to us is because they have Michael Penix and they have Kirk Cousins. And there is a probability that Stick will be either released to try and get through to the practice squad. I don't know. They might try and keep Emory Jones, or they might try and move Easton Stick. Would you rather have Easton Stick than Kyle Allen? We got to see him play as well, and I don't know the numbers. I know they were pretty good. One moment, please. 15 of 18, 149 yards, the one touchdown. So, I mean, we saw some good throws from him.
Saw some great throws from him.
But and I'll give you the same names we've been regurgitating that could become available. Jameis Winston, Kenny Pickett, Skylar Thompson. Throw Easton Stick into the mix. It could become available. You know, there are some guys that I hope that they take a look at.
Is Trey Lance going to become available?
Dude, Ken, you would love that.
Or Tyler Heinicke, one of those quarterbacks out there?
Give me even more reason to root for the guy. Yep. I mean, I don't want him starting for the Lions, but good backup. You know, nothing wrong with that.
Okay. So what about Hendon Hooker? You heard him say right there that he put him in the game early. Why'd you pull Hendon Hooker? I think most people have heard this, but he gives a little bit of analysis of what he sees there with Hendon Hooker. Yeah.
So it's translating it from the practice field to game day, mm-hmm. whether it's preseason game or in the actual regular season game. But that's, I read somewhere today, one of the reporters had written that that's the thing for him. He has to translate it because apparently he's fine on the practice field, but it's more controlled, obviously. But step into a game day situation and things aren't going his way. And coughing it up twice in the same game. And one of the second cough up was right in the red zone or in the borderline of the red zone after they had driven nicely. Can't have it. And you're gonna waste your opportunities.
I will say this. A quarterback getting hit and fumbling in their first significant playing time is less concerning to me than a quarterback turning it over with interceptions. And the interception he threw in the Hall of Fame game, the one that should have been caught, these two things, they feel far more correctable. And I'm not sure it's going to be a continued problem. It's just getting used to the speed of the game. You think you've got a second, but you don't.
Right. And for him, the big problem is he's competing with somebody. And that somebody, Kyle Allen, really stepped in and did the job. Yep. Three scoring drives that he led the team to. It was impressive. You can't say that you didn't if you watch the game, you can't come away not impressed with what Kyle Allen did. And a lot of that is because Hendon Hooker turned the ball over, and the alternative was three scoring drives.
Mm-hmm. Well, the good, the positive and negative out of it. Negative, obviously, is the Hooker fumbles, and he had to be pulled from the game. The positive is Kyle Allen wasn't supposed to go in the game yet, and that's what happens in a real game, is you're not supposed to go in yet, and bam, wait a second, get your helmet on, we need you. That's kind of what happened to Kyle Allen, and he shined, and that's exactly what would happen if you went to your backup quarterback during a regular game. So, like I said, the negative is Hooker was bad. The positive is Kyle Allen came in without even being, I don't want to say not being ready, but he wasn't expected to come in yet until the second half, and he showed out.
I guess the one thing that I can't envision is I can't envision Kyle Allen winning important games. I can envision him winning a game or finishing out a game or not hurting his team. I'm just not sure that Kyle Allen has it in his back pocket to win an important game. And maybe that guy's not available. Maybe everybody feels, I'm sure some teams feel better about their backup. Atlanta has to feel better about their backup quarterback situation than Detroit.
Well,
I'm sure that I would think that the Giants probably do. I would think that even Cleveland, they don't have a starter, but they got a bunch of guys who are probably capable backups.
What we don't know is what they look like if they're running with the ones.
Nope.
Because the ones that the Lions have are awfully good. I mean, the receiving core is great. The running backs are great. The tight end is great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty great. The offensive line, we're not sure yet. Still, you know, going to wait and see what it really looks like. But let's say the offensive line is good. Then if the offensive line is good, then I think if Kyle Allen steps in there in games, I think he could win games.
He might be right. I guess I just want to see more here in the preseason. I don't even know if he can check that box in the preseason.
I don't know if
you're
probably, check that
you're
box.
Right. You probably won't know until you know. In the meantime, the joint practices with the Dolphins start tomorrow. Dan Campbell tells us what he hopes to get out of them. Coming up today at 12:32 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. You asked a question on your show sheet yesterday, and this had to come from somewhere. Donuts or cake for your birthday? Why did you ask that question?
Because I was at a birthday celebration on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like a brunch type thing. And someone was told to bring some donuts. They brought donuts. And the birthday girl, who is not a little girl anymore, she made a comment saying that she likes donuts better than cake for birthdays. And then it was echoed by several other people that were there at the party. And I thought, I'm going to store this away. As a person who prefers cake to donuts for birthday. But okay, if you like donuts over cake, okay. But it was seconded and thirded. Thirded? Yes.
Thrice.
It was seconded again by others at the party. I was surprised.
I've never heard of donuts for your birthday instead of a birthday cake. Now, given I'm not one that asks for birthday cakes, pretty much on birthdays, my mom makes this cheesecake. She makes and she has like raspberries that you drizzle over the top of it, and that's what everybody gets, and that's, God bless mom. She's still getting it done.
There you go.
Everybody's birthday, there's her raspberry cheesecake. But
I think it's because the thinking behind it is it's individual as opposed to getting a whole big cake and you got to cut the pieces. Like, hey, just grab a donut. Or, you know, I've been to weddings before where instead of serving a cake, there were like cupcakes.
Yeah. No, I've seen
spectacular cupcakes. But maybe that's just it because it's more portable and easier to deal with.
Ken, you ever heard of this? Donuts instead of birthday cake?
Yeah, because I've been going to a lot of birthday parties now, but maybe for kids too, it's different because the individual thing, Gator, like you mentioned, just a handheld, easier to pass around is a good thing. Cupcakes, right, are done a lot with birthday parties because, hey, just take a cupcake. A lot of times when people have cake, the first thing you hand out cake to everyone, they're like, oh, that's too big. That's too big. I need something smaller. You know, like, because it's hard to cut it uniform, exactly a certain specific size that everyone can agree on or whatever. So I don't mind this change, Doug. I like it. Like, make it more normalized donuts for birthday parties. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, to make it easier, I'm not a big cake guy either. I'm actually a cheesecake kind of guy, but whatever makes it easier to pass around for everybody, because God knows I've been to way too many birthday parties over the last couple of years. And
The life of a young parent.
Yeah.
But again, this was not for children.
Yeah, I know it wasn't. But the parents are always the one. That's too much. You know what I mean? Like, that's too, I don't want.
Because they have to deal with the kid after they've had this 75 grams of sugar in there.
Yeah. All right.
I personally would prefer the cake over the
Whatever donut. The individual wants, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And you're a donut guy. You love donuts.
I like donuts, but I prefer a cake if it's going to be,
for a birthday. Yeah. What about this, Gator? A birthday-sized donut for your birthday.
A birthday cake-sized donut?
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Yeah, I know.
I hadn't given it any thought. I mean, it depends on what kind of donut it is, you know?
Krispy Kreme glazed.
All right. Slow down. Just stop.
That's going to work for you?
Imagine.
It's the simplest thing, and it's the best. It just, when you do it right, you stick to it. That's it. And Krispy Kreme knows what they're doing when it comes to it. A glazed
donut. I think we've stumbled upon one of Gator's core foundational beliefs in life is the belief in the Krispy Kreme glazed donut.
Well, there's that, but it's also the belief in just that, though. If you do something well, stick to it. You don't have to deviate too much, right? Mm-hmm. You want to dress it up a little bit here and there, okay, but don't stray too far. You know, there's... You can go a long way. Like, there are a lot of donut places out there now that do like these really fancy donuts. And okay, they look great and they might taste fine, but they're impractical when you try to eat them. Like, let's not get carried away here. At the base, you've got an awesome glazed donut. That's
stop.
Good enough.
Just
that's
stop.
Good. Just stop right there. Okay. That's good enough. It's like with a hamburger. Hamburgers are great. You want to make a cheeseburger, whole slice of cheese? Yeah, okay. You want lettuce, tomato, pickles on there. Okay. You want onions on there? Yeah. Do you want to throw another patty on it? You want some ham on that? What? You want to add bacon to it? Next thing you know, you've got a sandwich that's a foot and a half high.
It's uncontrollable is what it is.
Just what happened to the burger was good.
All right. Let's get back to the Dan Campbell thing.
I'm hungry.
I know you are. Speaking of the, you mean the talk about the seafood boil with a spare rib in the middle of it?
Not as hungry.
No. All right, Dan Campbell, what he hopes to get over the next few days, and specifically from the Dolphins, who are in town for a couple joint practices before they play. We'll be there tomorrow. Here's what the coach hopes to get. Okay, starting with the defense, you know, the Baltimore background, as he mentioned. These are so great to go up, see ones go against other teams' ones that aren't there to be polite, and guys fighting for jobs. Miami kind of had a middle-of-the-pack defense last year, but still, you know, it's better than going against your own guys, right?
In some regards, yeah. Although you would think the one-on-one matchups, there was a little clip of a video of Penei Sewell in a pass-blocking drill against Aiden Hutchinson. Hard to beat that.
Well, that's true.
But, yes.
You wonder if anybody's holding anything back going against a teammate, at least to a degree.
Guys want to hit somebody in another jersey.
They really do, and this time we'll get to see starters do it. As far as offensively, speed on the outside, is Tyreek Hill, are he and Jalen Waddle healthy right now?
Tyreek Hill is not at this point. He's expected to return soon, but I believe they said that he's not going to participate in the first I don't think he's going to participate in the practices or the game.
Okay. Well, it wouldn't be wouldn't be surprising if they aren't playing in the game. If they're not playing in the practices, Waddle and Hill, then that's too bad. But
Would that help to see guys like that? Yeah. Yeah, it would be nice because they're awfully good.
Yep. And I want to see evidence of what our guy Goff said yesterday when we asked him, is the defense, can you tell tangibly that the defense is better? Oh, hell yeah, he said, quoting directly. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, it was a combination of Dan Campbell and Kool-Aid Man.
Yeah.
He went, oh, hell yeah.
248-539-9797. You want to keep talking Lions? We can. You said something made you nervous that Goff said yesterday. I don't quite understand why. I want to get to that today at 12:46 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, make Builders FirstSource your destination for professional window and exterior door installation services. You can add value and beauty to your home with trusted brands like Anderson, Pella, Therma-Tru, and more. Then have your new windows and doors installed properly the first time with their expert Builders FirstSource installation team. Done right with quality products and services, visit one of their locations in Clinton Township or Shelby Township or online at buildersfirstsource.com. That's buildersfirstsource.com.
All right, Gator, I'm going to give you all the regions, and you tell me who you think is favored, okay?
Okay.
The West region is from Hawaii. The Southeast region is from South Carolina. The Northwest region is from Washington. This is Little League World Series teams.
I was starting to put that together.
Great Lakes region's Illinois. New England region's Massachusetts. Metro region's Connecticut. Mid-Atlantic region's Pennsylvania. Midwest is South Dakota, Southwest is Texas, and Mountain is Nevada. Who do you think out of those teams is the favorite? Those states producing Little League talent. If you had to bet on one, you would bet on?
Hawaii.
Interesting. Is there reasoning behind it or a guess?
I think because it's, just because everything's so concentrated there, you're starting to see some really great athletes come out of there.
Interesting. I'm not sure logic follows, but I'll give it to you because Hawaii is the correct answer. Out of all the U.S. states, who do you think is the biggest long
shot? Aloha. Biggest long shot?
Yep.
I've already forgotten where the regions are.
South Carolina, Washington, Illinois, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Texas, South Dakota, Nevada, Pennsylvania.
I go Illinois.
Illinois is the longest of long shots. Well done. This man knows his Little League people.
Listen.
He knows his kids.
Yeah, I know kids, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I think another thing is you're able to play baseball 365 days a year in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. You're not able to do that in Illinois.
Nope. Nor Connecticut or Massachusetts. I am rooting for the team from Massachusetts to win it all. And the reason, they're the ones that took out those New Hampshire kids.
Gotcha.
Go Massachusetts. All right. So you put in your show sheet, and I'm not sure I'm interpreting this correctly. Does the Hutch to Aaron Donald comparison make you nervous? No, it makes me stoked. But that was because yesterday, Jared Goff said, "Look, we had the same problems in LA trying to handle Aaron Donald during practice. It's the same thing with Hutch. Why would that make me nervous? What am I missing?"
Just wondering if that's just teammate speak. Is that somebody just pumping up a teammate, or is it real? You know, because we certainly saw a very small sample size last year.
Mm-hmm.
Only, what was it, five games, and he had seven and a half sacks in the five games and led the league in pressures, and like 3 weeks later was still leading the league in pressures. He was outstanding last year. I don't think that's a flash man. I legitimately think Aiden Hutchinson is a game wrecker, and I think he's poised to have a monster season. But anytime somebody brings up a comparison to somebody who is universally thought of as being the best at his position or just universally great or whatever it is, I think there's always a, all right, hold on. Are you just saying that because it's your guy, or do you really believe that? I mean, because we asked Goff about the backup quarterback situation as well, and he
said they're doing great. Yeah, I get it.
It's completely undeterred. And I wouldn't expect him to say anything else. And no. It's not that I don't believe him with the Hutch thing. It's just that, okay.
It wouldn't make me nervous. Would I be skeptical maybe of it? I'm not really. I guess I think it's – the problem is that you start setting this unrealistic bar. And when you set a bar that high – that he could still be really good and people will complain about the way he plays because the bar has been set so high. So I always try and just let them define themselves without putting too much undue pressure. I've changed here, Gator. I try not to put too much undue pressure. Okay. And people ask me, Bryce Underwood. Yeah, he's got ability, but you never know until the lights are on. And that's actually very true.
It is very true.
In Aiden Hutchinson's case here, I don't mind the comparison. I mean, basically, if he just keeps being a better version of himself, I think it's realistic to say, yeah, he could be the most dominant defensive lineman in the game eventually if he keeps improving on what he did. But, and there's nothing about Aiden Hutchinson that scares me from a personality standpoint, or is he going to work hard, or does he have the motor? Does he have the drive? That was stuff from day one back in his Michigan days. It was never in doubt.
Oh, because he got hurt and he came back.
Yep, and he came back better than ever.
And he was a Heisman finalist, right?
Did he actually go?
I think he was a finalist.
I don't remember if he was a finalist or not, but I don't remember what I did yesterday. Anyway, so I'm not nervous. And I kind of expected. I guess I didn't think that was out of bounds. But also from practice, are we doing it to Isaac Tesla? Are we hyping him too much? And I don't mean we, you, and me. I mean, just in general,
I don't know. I'm ready to ramp up the hype train.
Are you?
I'm wildly impressed every time I see him on the field.
Mm-hmm.
It's I got it. Preseason games, sure, fair enough. But he's making all the catches, the contested catches. The touchdown he had in the back of the end zone was a well-thrown ball. Was also a great job of him to catch it, hang on to it, complete the process, the whole bit.
I think that was a four-year pro he was going up against, too.
He's doing the other things that you want him to do to be a great teammate. He is blocking like a champ. And the other thing about Isaac Tesla that I really like, he passes the eyeball test easily. He's a big receiver. We've talked, the Lions need to get a bigger receiver. Well, like 6'2", 6'3". This guy's legit 6'4", over 200 pounds. He runs a 4.440. He has a 39-inch vertical leap. All these things are just great, but now you're actually seeing it on the field where it matters. Whoa, the vertical leap, whatever. No, that vertical leap is what allowed him to make that touchdown reception and other plays that he's made. And I think that his willingness to block completely endears him to the coaching staff, of course, and will to his teammates as well. The other thing that I'm really buying into it is I saw the clip from the draft day stuff that they showed about the selection of Isaac Tesla.
Okay, so you're talking about the inside the den that the Lions organization puts out?
Yeah. So I saw the clip about on him when he was on the phone with Brad Holmes.
Yep.
And it also kind of got me a little emotionally too watching that because the guy grew up a Lions fan, right?
He's a Michigan kid.
And he's not expecting, you're expecting to get drafted by the Lions, and then it happens as early as it did. And everybody, they had the video of everybody in his house at the time or wherever they were at watching it. And they're all waiting to hear who it is that's calling him. And then when he says, thanks, Mrs. Ford, I should have said thanks, Mrs. Hamp, but he says, thanks, Mrs. Ford.
Yep.
Everybody in the room goes nuts.
Yep.
And because they realized, here's your dream. You get to play for the team that you grew up rooting for. I mean, the whole story is just, it's awesome. And he's got the talent to make it in the league. The question is, how big is he going to make it? And how big are the expectations going to be from day one when you are the you know, fourth or fifth receiver on the roster might be unfair, and yet I can't wait to see him do great things.
It feels right now like it's still one of those secrets that Detroit knows about that other teams and other cities don't know about, and it might be a secret for a while because if Amon-Ra and J-Mo are healthy, you know, how many balls will get thrown Isaac Tesla's way? I mean, Khalif Raymond, Tim Patrick, he could outplay those guys in the preseason, the last two, and get into maybe that third receiver role. But, you know, we're at the still a secret, just amongst us Detroiters here kind of stage. If it is all hype is all worth it, Kang, hype? Are you worried about the hype when you got a quarterback saying that Hutch is like Aaron Donald and all the Tesla love that's going around? Do you think it's too much on either front?
No, I think it's real. And I think that when you're this good and you're in the tier that the Lions are in, which is the tier of teams favored to win the Super Bowl, yeah, hype comes with it. And I'm not staying away from it. I'm not scared of it. I embrace it. I look at, you know, I take it head on. And Hutch being compared to Aaron Donald, to me, doesn't scare me at all because he's been that damn good when healthy. Mm-hmm. And the last, you know, unhealthy season was just the last thing we saw. But before Aaron Donald was Aaron Donald, he had 1, 2, 3 years in the league. Same thing as Hutch. I feel like this is just the beginning stages of Hutch being Hutch. And the Tesla thing, I think once people got over the initial shock, because I think obviously people were shocked when they traded up, not just for
not
receiver.
Everybody.
Well, yeah, I got lucky. but, and damn it, that felt good. Gator was like, and you see Tesla's family cheering up and down. I was jumping up and down, Gator, all right? I wasn't even in the room or in the house with them. But then they got over that shock and they go and look at his tape and his film and see his measurables. And then, you know, those are things that the Lions look for, right? The high RAS score, all that stuff. Hey, this could be something. And then when they hit the field and he's actually performing, I think there's a really good chance by week 2, 3, he could be the starter. I think Tim Patrick comes out of the gate because he's the veteran. He starts it. But if Tim Patrick shows some age and he's not as strong with the ball, he's not blocking, you know, downfield as he used to, because Tesla, those are things that he does.
Yeah.
He's got strong hands, high points the ball. He's a great blocker. He's a great blocker. And that's the things that they love on this team. And he's definitely the replacement for Tim Patrick. Tim Patrick's on a 1-year deal.
Big D Dog on Twitch says, I was confused by the Hutch to Donald comparison. Usually when Hutch is compared to most guys, it's with the last name Water Bosa. I think Goff only did it because he practiced against Donald. They played different positions, but he practiced against Donald. And Donald was disruptive in a way that Hutch has been disruptive in during practice. Debt313 says, I'm all on board with the Tesla hype train. Give me that Tesla Kool-Aid. I will drink it all. FBG25, I remember when almost nobody was liking the Tesla pick when it happened, including me.
Yeah. I mean, when they made the pick, my thought was, wait a minute, is that the Kang's guy? That's crazy. And then it was, did they take this guy way too early? And things have changed.
Well, they might have, because did you guys see the Brad Holmes recently sat down with ESPN and they went around and the ESPN guys were asking every GM, hey, what was the pick you missed on, you know, that you waited too long and you didn't get him. And Brad Holmes mentioned Puka Nacua was mm-hmm. a guy that he was like, he really wanted him. He wished he pounded the table more for him, whatever. I think this is his Puka Nacua. You know, like he's not going to let that happen twice, you know. And he saw same type of measurables, right? And same type of, you know, just talent that if he gets the right coaching underneath him, could be a real star in the league.
Well, you mentioned that ESPN interviewer, and it's Kevin Clark from Omaha Production on ESPN2. Speaking of Tesla, he asked Penei Sewell, who's the most impressive newcomer you've seen in Detroit this year. He said Isaac Tesla. And he said, I'm not even talking about receiving. That man can block. That's Penei Sewell talking about Isaac Tesla. So, one to keep an eye on. All right, Gator.
He blocks like they drafted him to block.
Right.
I don't know. If you watch him just individually on run plays or when other players have the ball, he's looking for someone to get in the way of.
He knows that's how he's going to get on the field.
He's doing it all. New TV deal, something near and dear to the hearts of many, and artist renderings. We will get to that at 102 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.